a video showing a man acting violently against a woman on a bus caused uproar on social media in China, as internet users demand the local police to act on it. However, later on, the police responded that this incident is tricky, as the two involved are in a so-called de facto marriage, and the police had already persuaded the man not to use violence. So this is one of those cases that's a little fuzzy for people to understand. Okay, let's go into the details then, and what does de facto marriage have to do here?
So let's keep in mind that China does not recognize de facto marriage. So at least this policeman is using the term wrong. And I'd like to believe that's what he thought. What he thought there is that this couple have been living together for a long time. And according to him, they have been living together for a really long time, for many years, and they give birth to a child without getting a marriage certificate. So I think what this policeman is trying to convey is that he believes that these are not two strangers and beating each other up, or rather the man is using violence against this lady. It's more like a issue within the family or within two people that are sharing intimate relationships. And what happened, what triggered the discussion, was that a video in the morning of September 25th showing a woman running from the back of the front from the back to the front of a bus while the bus was driving, and a man caught the woman, dragged her, and threw her on the back seat of the bus while the later screamed. So people would assume at least this would be a domestic violence kind of case, but the fact that these policemen were using the term de facto marriage has caught our attention, because like I said, since the year 1994, China stopped recognize de facto marriage.
Yes, there is a little bit of history there, because I suppose 1994 is one year of a milestone in the understanding of what de facto marriage is, but certainly it's not recognized by Chinese law anymore. And before 1953, the People's Republic of China was founded in 1949, so 1953 was the year when I think China
implemented the marriage law and only lacked the marriage registration.
Exactly. And, well, before the founding of the People's Republic of China, there were years when a man could have more than one wife, and the marriage situation is a lot more complicated. But as time moves on and as we see the law is established here, there is a change in what is recognized by the state as a legal marriage. And if we travel further on in time and we see today's China, there are some people that possibly could be living together and having a relationship, doing pretty much all things that a married couple do, except for they don't have that piece of paper. And would you call that de facto marriage? 事实婚姻? Or do you call it cohabitation? How do you label it? I guess we're talking about labeling because the law is there to protect our rights in so many ways when it comes to this matter.
And I suppose this is interesting from an Australian perspective, because in Australia, we do legally recognise de facto marriages or de facto-like relationships, which can be pretty broad. I mean, that included gay and lesbian couples, for example. And, you know, the reason why laws were broadened to cover de facto is because of issues like distribution of property, distribution of finances, guardianship of children, and increasingly as a way of dealing with domestic violence. So understanding that violence that happens between partners is quite different from sort of common assault that you might find out in the community and requires a different approach.
Do you mind going into a little bit more depth and what do you mean by there is this difference in assault among strangers or within a family in a household?
I think one of the major differences is that it's extremely common. Domestic violence is a huge issue, not just in China. It's a huge issue in Australia. Even when things like street crime are relatively low, a huge proportion of women have experienced violence. And it's almost always women experiencing violence at the hands of men. And there's been a very long tradition, I think, in most societies for that to be seen as not very serious.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's, you know, if there's a fight between a couple, it's not really assault. It's not really violence. It's just having a domestic. It's just having an internal conflict. And I think over time we're beginning to realize it's actually a huge problem and needs to be treated quite seriously.
And the situation in China is as severe. An All China Women's Federation survey in 2015 showed that 30% of 270 million families were affected by family violence, with 16% of women saying they had been beaten up by their partners, and 14.4% of male admitted to beating their wives. So the situation is as fierce, as serious here in China. And the problem is, since we launched the law against domestic violence, actually you need to be in a domestic situation to be qualified as domestic violence. And that is why if this kind of behavior happened between a couple that has not been married, no matter if it's a cohabitation or in their mind a de facto marriage, or they've just started to date each other for a little bit longer time, they cannot really ask for help from the police because they don't fall into this category.
Or if they asked for help from the police, then you can't really standfastly say, well, I'm married, this is my husband, and he's abusing me. You don't have that card that protects you to some extent. Instead, it's sort of like really fuzzy. People sort of, I guess the police officers sometimes don't really want to get involved because, oh, it's boyfriend and girlfriend, or whatever you are, you're just living together. And sometimes there is this de facto marriage that's being mentioned here. And in China, I think it does make a major difference with or without that piece of paper. And in China, I suppose, understanding marriage or the concept of it and what comes out of it is rather simple and straightforward. That is, you have to go to the registration office, get the stamp, get the procedure, the work done, and you're officially announced as husband and wife and marriage. Otherwise, something bad happens. Well, the two people are not recognized by law, their relationship, and therefore when it comes to the division of property, when it comes to all kinds of these financial issues, then the law is not on your side. But it's so interesting to see in other countries, for example, Australia, where Carl is from, that it seems like the law or the marriage law is very benevolent and very tolerant. And it seems like, oh, people can have different preferences when it comes to their marital status or their relationship status, and the state supports that. And that's just so different. And I can't really tell which is better per se, but Carl, why do you think that in Australia things have developed to this stage that, yeah, there's all kinds of legally recognized forms of, well, two people staying together?
I would suggest because I think Australia is a bit more socially liberal than China. We don't have the same, I don't think quite the same strong family-centered tradition as China has. And I think that's made broadening the definition of marriage and relationships a bit more, you know, acceptable. I think it also reflects the times. There's a lot of younger couples over the last couple of decades who choose not to get married until quite a long time into their relationship, or they choose not to get married at all. But the law has recognized that they deserve equal rights. They just haven't gone through, or similar rights, they just haven't gone through the marriage ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at domestic violence, for example, so domestic violence law in large parts of Australia, it's not even about whether a couple is married or de facto. You could be dating someone for a few weeks and be in an intimate relationship, and that brings them under the purview of domestic violence law. So we've got a very broad definition of a relationship for domestic violence offences as well, which is really useful, because if you look at, thinking about the people I know in China, a lot of people in their 20s, they're not getting married until at least their late 20s or early 30s, but they might or might not live with their partner, they might share finances, and they've got an intimate relationship, so there is the issue that there's no legal recognition of that relationship just because they're not married.
Mm. And I think I'd like to put the domestic violence aside, because let's admit it, even if we accept the so-called de facto marriage, it is still a problem for a domestic violence case if they're not married, if they're just a couple, if they're just dating each other. So I think that matter should be discussed. It's another topic that worth at least half of a round table. But what I'm trying to say here is that I'd like to defend the status quo of China's system here, because I think it's a system that has been tried and tested, that is has been helping us for a really long time. And I can think of many reasons for not recognizing de facto marriage. For example, there might be a lot of loophole happening. People can claim they have been de facto, well, they have been in a de facto marriage status, and to, you know, steal someone's money or do some other things. And it takes a huge manpower to actually to vet those people to see if they are actually in that stage, or they just wanted to, you know, trick the system. And also, I think getting married, even though in itself it should be something very romantic, it should be something that you do to celebrate love, but from a legal perspective, it's not that different from, you know, buying a house or start a company. You need that one piece of paper to have a legal protection. It's not about the judge feeling sorry for you because you didn't get that piece of paper. It's about you decided not to get that piece of paper. So you have huge confidence in this man. You believe he will never hurt you, so you do not even need the law to protect you. Or you are just have no confidence in this person you're being with at all, because you do not want to be legally connected with this person. And I think having this kind of law system, it might sound a little cold-hearted when I say this, but I think it's very clear whether or not to make the decision of getting that piece of paper will decide in the future whether or not you have the government on your back to help you.
And it's also a good reminder that you say it's a cold-hearted view of marriage, but this is basically what marriage traditionally was. The idea of marriage being about love and togetherness and flowers and chocolates and all that crap is a very contemporary idea. Mm-hmm. And I think over the last 150, 200 years, we've forgotten that the basis of marriage was basically a form of contract, and it tied a family legally together and provided a basic structural foundation for how society works. And it had absolutely nothing to do with romance.
Yeah, and if we go back in time a bit further on, then I suppose it was about securing an heir and making sure that this child is, well, the biological father is this man. And yeah, like if you go to the roots of the marriage, I guess it is kind of cold-blooded in a way. And it's or let's just say it's rational. It's about securing property and securing the bloodline and kinship and those kind of things. But now in today's China, it's interesting to see that, of course, I think the traditional idea of a marriage is still alive and strong, but there are some people that are, I think, using their own action in sort of exploring that there are other ways to live your life. There are other ways to have an intimate relationship with someone. But at this moment, it's not recognized by law, and it's creating some problems because, well, you're not covered by the legal code.
And I think that's really the core issue here because, you know, for example, I only learned today that if you have a child and you're not married, that child can't necessarily get a hukou. And if they don't have a hukou, like a resident permit in the city where they're living, being able to access public benefits, healthcare, schooling, that all becomes really, really complicated.
Mm-hmm.
And another example I was thinking of was legal wills. So China doesn't really have a strong tradition of legal wills, like a document that you leave behind that is legally binding and lays out where you want your assets to go when you die. So being legally married, it kind of covers a lot of those things, is at least there's a clear line of succession. So I think it's going to be a challenge for those couples who socially might think it's interesting to go off and have these alternative relationships, but there are a whole lot of ways in which they're just not covered.
That's interesting, because the first time I hear that they want a different form of life, I would assume if you want a different form of life, what is the differentiating point here? Do you really just want to be caught not married and have all the right that married people do have and have all the obligations that married people have and just do not have that paper? Isn't that a little, you know, hypocritic?
Well, it is kind of hypocritical in a way that you're not. Well, you don't want the obligation, nor the. Well, then you're not protected, I guess.
Exactly,
because you're also not holding the obligation either. If you're, that's completely voluntary. Depends on what these two people in the relationship feel like. Yeah. So, does the marriage protect the weaker link as opposed to the stronger one? Because, well, the standards, requirements, everything is set in stone if you enter a marriage. And the one that possibly is not so financially secure, the one that maybe need some validation, can get it.
As we've talked about, it clearly provides some legal protection. I would defend the couples who choose not to get married. I don't think it says necessarily that they have a relationship that's any less inherently worthy. They've just chosen not to engage with an old tradition. It doesn't mean they don't love each other. It doesn't mean they're not going to be good parents and be responsible. They've just chosen not to engage in that legal tradition.
And since we have been talking a little bit about domestic violence, actually that can also be a huge problem, because ever since the leading story we've talked about at the very beginning, saying that police officers stepped back a little bit because the couple that in which the man is beating up the woman a little bit, at least on the bus, were involved in a romantic relationship, and they believe it is a family, well, the police believes it was a family affair. And a similar incident happened a little bit before that. That is, some mother-in-law was, the thing is, the couple had a little fight against each other, and the mom took the kid away, and then the mom's mother-in-law, meaning that the man's mom, actually tried to kidnap the kid. And people say it was in a way acceptable if she was the kid's grandmother. So my point is, when there's a problem concerning a family, Chinese policeman or a traditional mentality here is that even though you're a really great judge, you cannot really judge who is right or wrong when it's a family affair.
Well, it's messy, so that's it shouldn't stop I think the authorities to step in if, well, here's the precondition, if real harm is done. And I think that's when people are more supportive of the idea of state authority to intervene in a domestic affair. But this so-called domestic affair, these two words, that's also very tricky because it covers some of the gray areas that I think it really depends on what goggles you wear, because if you look at it in a more modern perspective, then it's not really, domestic or not isn't really the issue here, but it's about, is someone getting hurt and who are the primary guardians of the child in the example that Nyoholin just presented. So this is all quite interesting, but it's also in a way providing this hotbed of problems. For example, okay, if you say that this couple is in a de facto marriage, so not recognized by law, and if one of the people is already in another marriage, and then what do you say? Are they having an extramarital affair, what does the law say about that?
And that's, again, I think an interesting aspect here, because I'm looking at it from my own experience, the Australian experience, a divorce can take a really long time. Even if the two sides are on relatively good terms, unpicking a lot of property ownership and legal arrangements, it can take a couple of years. And it's not uncommon for one partner to go off and have another relationship while that's happening. So technically, by the sound of it, in the case of China, that could be illegal because they're both married, they haven't divorced, but one of them has gone off and had another relationship.
Exactly. According to China's criminal law, Article 258, whoever has a spouse and commits or knowingly in a marriage to another person who has a spouse shall be sentenced to fixed term imprisonment for not more than 2 years or criminal detention. So basically, like you said, China does not approve the situation if you have already been in a de jure marriage and try to have a de facto marriage. That's just not going to work.
It's going to be judged as bigamy. You're married, you can't be married
twice.
Yeah, at the same time. That just does not make sense.
Well, not even not married twice, you can't be in a marriage-like relationship. So that means
If
your husband leaves you for another woman and you're getting divorced, you can call the police and he could be charged technically with bigamy by the sound of it. And this is the issue where it's a nice idea that the law can answer all cases fairly and evenly, and that's just not the reality of how the law works. I think there'll always be a role for judges to make subjective decisions about situations, whether it's divorces or it's family violence.
Yeah, well, I think it just seems like you're exposing yourself to more risk if you're not playing by the rules. Yeah, and what about cohabitation as well? I feel that's just another way to say de facto marriage. It seems after this discussion, we know what is the safest way to do things, but that doesn't stop us from seeing what some of the experiments and explorations that some other people are engaged in. You're listening to Rant Table. We're back after this break.